Good afternoon. For those of you who are way back there, anybody that is sitting behind the gentleman in black will probably bite. Okay, and Tim has not had his shots, right. So that's a danger. We honestly, especially you guys, we really would like for you to be down here close because we would like some feedback from you. We really do want to talk. This session, for those of you who were at the first session, there was more content than we're really planning to give. In this session, we're going to try to fly through this stuff and leave a lot of time for question and answer. We don't have the answers, but you've got the questions, so we'll try to find some kind of mix and go from there. Just quickly, let you guys know, Tim Hall is the youth and family minister in Stillwater Church of Christ. Stillwater, is that the name of the church?
Stillwater,
yeah, it is.
Oklahoma.
Okay. In Stillwater, Oklahoma. And I am the youth minister at the Elmwood Church of Christ in Lafayette, Indiana. We're both on the board of the National Conference on Youth Ministries, and we were asked to just kind of do a little forum, and so we agreed to do that. Hope it's a blessing to you. We really appreciate the teenagers being here. There's going to be some of the stuff that you're going to just zone out, but you do that anyway, even in class and stuff, so that's okay with us. But please be ready with questions and some feedback, because there's some things that I'm going to hit, especially I think Tim is too, in some of the resources that we're going to mention, that we want you to tell us if this is right on or not. And if it's not, we want to know that, okay? So please do that. Tim, why don't you start us with a prayer, and we'll get going.
Sure. Let's bow. Our gracious God, we're grateful for a beautiful day outside that you've given us here to come together as a people who are interested in doing more for your kingdom and becoming tools for you in that kingdom. God, we are grateful for your son's sacrifice, his life here on this earth, and we hope and pray that our life is a celebration to those around us of the fact that Jesus Christ lives within us. God, help us as we go through the material this afternoon and as we just discuss in a real informal atmosphere what it means to be a teenager in our present culture here in America, that God, you would give us some insight, that you would give us wisdom, that you would give us the ability to find out what your will might be and help us, God, to be proactive in pursuing that will. In your name we pray, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tim. We're going to go ahead and start off with a couple of video clips. We kind of think this outlines the teenager's world today. And once again, if we're wrong, you can let us know that. First one's called... Any of you teens in the room that can relate to that last label? I think we're doing a pretty good job of providing confusion in your world. Hope not, but I think that's coming. This next one... Do any of you teens ever feel a little pressured to get everything done? Ever distracted? See if you can relate.
Jake Farnsworth here, Teen Stuffing. I will now attempt to read an entire chapter of the Bible in one sitting.
You've got mail.
I got a new game.
You've got mail.
Why'd I have to pick someone 19?
This morning we talked a little bit about the fact that In our world, even adults feel like they've got to fill every waking moment. And so you teens probably pick that up, honestly, from us. And I apologize for that, for sure. I know I did that to my kids. How'd that get in there, Tim? For those of you who don't know, NCYM provides a youth ministry meeting every year. This next year will be January 5 through 8 in Colorado Springs. If you would like more information about that, we have registration forms and early bird registration is going on. You save, what, about 50 bucks?
10, I think.
Oh, sorry. I lied. All right. We want to just take a look real quickly at some resources for your perspective, adults especially. And some of these things, teenager, I encourage you to pick up and read as well. But we're just going to kind of scoot through some of these. We want to give you the high points. Maybe this is an appetizer for your meal. Maybe this will encourage you to want to go out and pick up some of these resources. I told the group earlier, and I really do mean this, this book, Youth Culture 101 by Walt Mueller, it's a fairly deep study. It's not a little book. It's pretty good deep reading. But basically, the whole concept of this book is trying to relate to you guys. And so some of the things that it addresses are here. You can read them as well as I can, so I'm not going to insult your intelligence. I just want you to be aware of some of the high points that are here, but like the passing on the biblical view, passing on the truth of God's commandments, 12 traits of godly character, et cetera, et cetera. Walt does a really good job, I believe, of identifying who the teens of right now are. This is hot off the press. It's a 2007 or 8 release. It's so new, Tim doesn't have it yet. So that ought to give you an idea. For those of you who would like to stay in touch, and this could be teenagers as well as adults, Walt has a group called the Center for Parent and Youth Understanding. Understanding culture to impact culture, you can sign up for a weekly email update. It's free. It's just www.cpyu.org. I encourage you to do that, especially if you're working with teenagers. It will help you stay abreast of trends and things going on in the culture. Hurt is one of the first real earth-shattering books that Chap Clark released. There are strategies that he identifies in Hurt to stem the tide, as he calls it, or turn the tide of systemic abandonment. Teenagers today are more alone than ever. Now, I understand that you're connected, right? I mean, you got MySpace and Facebook, and I'll have to tell you, I've got a Facebook account too, and I felt really kind of funny whenever I first got it because it was like, so am I spying on these guys or what? One of the girls wrote me and said, I think it's so cool that you have a Facebook account. I could call and call, I could email and email, and maybe I'd get some responses. Boy, any time I post on Facebook, you know, I'm connected. And so that's kind of my community there with even my own youth group. We all have those. But just some of the high points that Chap is taking a look at. And once again, I'm not going to hit all of these because I think one that parents, those of you who are here, please see down there, number 4, parents need to be equipped and encouraged to parent the changing adolescent. Change is the one constant in these guys' lives. It is the one thing that never ceases. Am I right, guys? Constantly changing. Something's always, always new. By the way, I know how it works. You hate your parents today, but you'll love them tomorrow. But then the next day's coming. And so, you know, we're there, and we kind of relate to some of that. Disconnected was the next big work that Chap and his wife, Dee, put together. And I think these are really important, and so I am going to hit these. And note the title here. It is another brand-new release, but Parenting Teens in a MySpace World. Some of you guys, and again, this may be some of the stuff, so just kind of lock in on this and be ready to talk about it in a couple minutes. Some of you guys will say to your parents, you don't know me. And so, you know, we really struggle with that. And it's like, you know, what do you mean? And what I think you're really trying to tell us is, I long to belong. You know, you're not even taking the time to know the person that lives under your roof. And so please do that. Please take that time. You never listen to me. You know, and of course, you know, parents, you know what we say. When they say, you never listen to me, we respond with the obvious, right? Well, you never listen to me. You know, and some of you are going, well, how do you know? I've got a 27-year-old son, a 25-year-old daughter, a 22-year-old daughter, and a 16-year-old foster daughter. I still live in that world. I still know, you know, some of those things going on. You know, and all you're really saying is, I long to be taken seriously. I'll be real honest with you, and Britt would love to hear me saying this. This is my 16-year-old foster daughter. Sometimes I don't shut up long enough to hear what she wants to say, and I'm really working on that. Okay? I really am. I can do it. You know, parents go, well, they don't care about anybody but themselves. What they really mean is, I long to matter. And, you know, I'm fine, okay? I'm fine, okay? And we usually think, well, they want us just to leave them alone. And maybe you guys are saying, I'm looking for a safe place. It's my life. I long to be uniquely me. And then finally, nobody cares about me. I long to be wanted. You know, does anybody really want me? I'm going to turn it over to Tim for a few minutes.
Musical chairs or stools or something. I should tell you that, and was asking me before we started, Dudley Chancey is also on the board of directors. He's a youth professor at Oklahoma Christian. He was here this morning and presented at 9 a.m. and then had to take off real quick and left Lee and I holding the bag, which is okay. But he'll be back here tomorrow at 9 a.m., and it would be really important if you could be to be at that that time in this same location. He's done some research that is going to shed some light on youth culture within Churches of Christ, and this is actually research work that he is working on, and so it's going to be very valid and very right now information. So if you could be here tomorrow at 9, you would be benefited by being here at that time. And then Lee wouldn't have told you this, but he's is fixing to be hit his 30-year mark in youth ministry. And I don't know if I could be in that long, but anyway. I did want to also share with you some material. And again, we're just here today really to, first of all, or secondly, to field questions from you guys, practical questions. But we also want to give you guys some resources, because we know that in youth ministry, a lot of times there is so much material out there, it's difficult to choose what is the right thing for me, because there's 100 books on the stuff that Lee just showed you. And I know in my younger years in youth ministry, it would have been really good to have somebody to say, hey, if you really read this book, it's going to give you a lot of information you need right now. And so that's kind of what Lee and I are doing just quickly. And then we'd encourage you guys to jot down those titles or the authors, the websites, and then check those out at a later time. And certainly, we've got a booth over in the Expo Center. Is that what it's called?
Yep.
And so you can stop by and talk to us over there or catch us right after this class. This book by Mark Iaconelli is called Contemplative Youth Ministry. And it's really, Mark goes through the whole book and he really tries to enlighten us as adults that in order to really work with young people, I mean, we've got a big crew right out here in the middle. In order to really do that, they want to see authentic Jesus in our own life. And so he really walks through this book and really points out, as parents and youth ministers, how we can do that better. Seeing young people through the eyes of Jesus, hearing through the ears of Jesus, being moved to compassion and then action. And so this book would be a really great resource for anybody who's in youth ministry right now.
And parents.
And parents, yes, absolutely. We had it was kind of funny, there's an older lady that came in right before most of you guys showed up, and I don't know, she might have been 70, maybe 65, something like that.
Two, 3 years older than me.
Probably so, at least. And she comes in and she said, hey, is this this area here? And she was pointing to her on her paper. And we said, no, this is the youth ministry class. And she kind of threw her hands up. She goes, oh, well, I'm going to go over to the other one. I'm done with youth ministry. I'm out of here. I've had that time in my life.
My kids are done.
Yeah, my kids are done was her actual quote there. But the thing about youth ministry is it is always a facilitation between youth minister and parent. If you're not using that togetherness, that idea of doing ministry together, then you're almost fighting a losing battle, because the parents equally, and I'm a parent too, I've got a 14-year-old and a 12-year-old, and they equally have to be informed about how to affect their own young people at home. What is it that my kids are into that I don't know about? And so it's important as youth ministers that we facilitate and we resource our parents as well. This is just one way you can do that, by allowing them to see some of the material maybe that you're coming up with as well. This book was a dissertation research paper that ended up in a book form, and it's really good. I found it very, very insightful. The lady that does this, Litch, she goes through and interviews three different types of churches and their young people and figures out why it is that they go to church. What is it that makes them stick around? And the three things that they came up with were a significant sense of belonging, so a place that they can call their own, a serious way to make coherent meaning out of the desperate elements in their lives. So this morning, Dudley talked about and addressed the fragmentation. I think Lee did as well, the fragmentation right now in our own lives, in our young people's lives, whether that is soccer, piano, I've got tennis, I've got drama at school, I'm also in beta club, and I've got youth group, and they've got so many different things going on. How do I make sense out of all that, and how do I work God into each of those areas of the life? And then the third one, a challenge to develop competence in their capacities for participating in the adult world. And one way to do that is just to include them and incorporate them into the function and life of the church itself, whether that be being members of committees, whether that be empowering a couple of young people in the youth group to create the PowerPoint and run the song service on a praise night, whether that be to really see and listen through the eyes of Jesus and the ears of Jesus, understand where the talents are of these young people, because a lot of times they have no clue. They're very talented, but they don't know where their talents lie. And so a parent or youth person coming up to them and saying, man, I see you really strong right here, and then guiding them along that way, man, that would be very fruitful. So this book would give you some insight into those three areas and helping you accomplish that. The last book that I'd like to address would be The Spirit-Led Community. It's called The Ministry of the Missional Church. And if you really want to be missional in your approach to ministry, Van Gelder has a really good approach, and we're going to look at seven of those quickly. But there are two questions he asks in the book, and he follows that with seven different attitudes or aptitudes of a church or a youth group. This particular book is talking about church in general, but there's no reason why. I mean, as I read the book, I saw it through the eyes of youth ministry constantly, and it read just the same. But the two questions you ask is, what is God doing? And that is your task in your own context and community to discover, what is it that God is doing where I'm at? And he's doing things in Thailand, he's doing things in England and Scotland, but right where he's planted me, what is he doing? And then the second question, what does God want to do then in the context that he's placed me in? So understanding through wisdom and discernment what God is doing, and how am I going to plan on me becoming a tool, the youth group becoming a tool, my family becoming a tool for him in this particular context. So missional congregations, he spells out in the book, learn to read a context as they seek their contextuality. And all that means is, where I'm planted, what does God want me to do? The second thing, anticipate new insights into the gospel. You're thinking, wow, the new gospel? What does that mean? All that means is, you know, as you read it, there's a lot of things that we come across that we just take for granted. For instance, the Bible in English. And just stopping to think that nobody that the stories are about in this Bible ever spoke in English. You take that to a mission field, and someone in the Amazonian jungle, you're taking that message to them, and they may have that question. And I think I heard this at Winterfest. They may have that question. So does your God not speak my language? Do you understand the implications of that question within itself? Wow, a God that doesn't speak my language, that means he really doesn't know about me. Okay, so that's a whole other class all by itself. The third thing, anticipate reciprocity. The idea that as you interact with people in their lives, as you move them toward the cross in Christ, that not only are they going to be changed, but you will also be changed in the process. The fourth thing, understand that they are contextual and therefore particular. In other words, particular to their location, the local church, if you will. In Stillwater, that's the home of Oklahoma State University. With the student population, we are about 45,000 people. And so you can see us sitting out there in the middle of nowhere, basically. We're an hour's drive from Tulsa, Oklahoma City, Wichita. We are a very NCAA town. And so the whole network of the town revolves around OSU. Well, that is very particular to our particular church and location. So since God's put us there, what can we do with that? What is it that he's wanting to do in this particular context? We're particular. The next thing would be understand that ministry is always contextual and is therefore practical. So in your context, you've got to figure out practically, how do I get the message of Jesus across to the people that I get to work with, to the young families that I get to work with, to the young people I get to work with? There's some practical aspects that will work in Stillwater that will not work in Tulsa. I do a thing called Power Hour every Wednesday. We have open campus. We have one high school in Stillwater. Every class has about 400 people in it. And we have a lunchtime Bible talk. I don't call it that. We call it Power Hour. Basically, you come for free pizza, pop, and cookies, and I'll do a little devo and a prayer before they go back to school. They have an hour off for lunch. Now, I'm fixing to take a new job. I've taken a new job in Overland Park, Kansas. They have 17 high schools. They don't have open campus. So in that context, it's not practical to do something like Power Hour. It just is not going to happen. And so in your particular location, there's some practical stuff you can do. The next thing, understand that doing theology is always contextual and is perspectival. In other words, within our own fellowship, 200 years in the Barton Stone movement, if you will, Churches of Christ. I mean, that is a certain perspective. And there are certain things that happened when they decided to start this thing that came into play. And there's some of those threads that still run through our fellowship and our movement. And so you have to understand that. And then lastly, understand that organization is always contextual and is provisional. You do it provided that it works. You may have a great idea, but if it doesn't fly in your context, then don't do it. So you have to be very missional. You can't be just ingrained in doing one thing all the time, everywhere you go. And I think Van Gelder does a good job at making us revisit our own vision process and our own mission-oriented processes. So, in conclusion, with those three ideas for your ministry, be a revolution. If we are to affect our students, we must be willing to release our own desires and allow the Spirit to move us to think, see, hear, and interact like the generation that God has given us. Don't change the message. You may have to change the method. And that's what we're here to do, is try to help us see youth culture a little bit better.
Just stay where you are, Tim. Tomorrow morning we're going to talk a little bit more about Unchristian, just a little bit. This is a Barna study that has just been released. It's pretty powerful stuff, but basically just focusing on what the new generation really thinks about Christianity and why it matters. Really talk to kids who have no intention of becoming Christians, and I think that really impacts us as youth workers, but it impacts you guys as teenagers, because you need to encounter those people. You know, that's the mission field that Jesus has given you. And so if you're going to be involved in other people's lives, some of this will be really boring. So tell your parents or tell your youth workers they need to read it, and then they need to tell you what it says so that you can, you know, put that into your context and you'll know how to take it onto your campus. You know, it's amazing what God can do even, you know, out of your own environment. The largest segment of our youth group that grew in the last 2 years was Gothic. We don't have hardly any Goths in town at all. But there was a group that started coming, and they said, we're safe there. And they just kept bringing their friends. And, of course, you know, it was a little, okay, what's going to happen whenever they get into the sanctuary, you know? And you know, they walked in, and God bless him. I have to tell you about Sam real quick. Sam will be 90 next month. He used to be one of our elders. He walks back the first time one of the guys walked in. I mean, all black, all the piercing, all the stuff. And he walks back, and he says, hey, I'm Grandpa Sam. What brings you to Elmwood? Not, dude, how'd you make it through the metal detectors? You know, that wasn't his approach. And the two of them, every Sunday, they connect. Now, that guy is at Purdue now. You know, we're on where Purdue University is. But he still comes, and he still brings his friends. And they don't think we're weird, even though we don't have all the piercings and all of that. And so, you know, it's kind of a cool thing on how that happens. So be here tomorrow for that. Once again, we want to remind you about that. And I put this back up as much as anything. NCYM wants to be a resource, not just to youth workers, but to teenagers as well. If you want to talk to Tim or to me, just go on to ncym.org, and we're all there. You can see our lovely pictures. You can put it up as a dartboard. You know, any of those kind of things. So, you know, so go for it. I'm gonna throw out a statement, and I want especially some of you young people to respond to this a little bit. Dudley in the first session said that basically, and I don't know if I can even say this, that you teenagers always have your BS detectors on. Okay? All right? Everybody with me? You know when it's baloney, right? Everybody there? Now, here's what I'm thinking, though. You know, that first video clip we showed, the last tag was confused. Okay, how many of you, honestly, how many of you teenagers really relate to that? About half the time, at least. Okay? Yeah, trying to find your place. Okay? Now, I think, though, what I'm hearing and what I'm seeing is you expect me to be genuine. But you've also learned that sometimes life is a lot easier if you just lie your way through. Am I right? I'm seeing some heads. Okay? Man, that just beats the snot out of me. Okay? Because we have to all learn to be genuine. That's what Jesus called us to be. So, okay, what questions, comments, concerns? React to any of this stuff? Anybody? What would you like to say, ask, do? Throw it out there. Yes, sir. Okay. Yeah, sure. The question is, and we'll repeat this. I think we're being taped again or recorded, whatever that is. The question is, how do you start from basically scratch and build, and what's the line of content versus activity, fun, et cetera, so that the friends will come, so that they'll want to keep coming? Tim?
Oh, that was mean. Oh, I think it's a combination of the stuff we've already been talking about tonight, at least what I have seen. I think people in general, now we talk about teens and young people, but I think adults, they want somebody who lives what they speak and talk about. And I think authentically, and I think because we're in this consumer economy, because we're in America, so to speak, we're like the fish living in water. We don't realize really all the different things that affect us and move us. And so we get sometimes caught up in numbers, and it's really not about numbers. And so I think, at least in my life, in my ministry, I've had to really slow down and understand that I need to take time with each person that walks in the door and be authentic with them and be Jesus, you know, in some small way to them. I can't be Jesus. I mean, I'm not that person. But really show them that I care, that there's a world out there that wants to kick them and make sure that they're the other guy's the first one to finish, and there are stresses from coaches and parents placed upon them, and they need to know that when they see me that I'm a safe place, that they know that they can get some love from me, because that's what God wants us to pass on. I mean, God is love, and we should be that as well. And what I think happens is when those small group of kids that you have to deal with, 10 or 15, as you said, when they see that authentically displayed in your life, that's going to be your best voice that you could possibly be. Because those 10 or 15 are going to go out and tell their friends. They talk to their friends each and every day, don't you? I mean, you guys text and you Facebook and you MySpace and you just talk over the lunch table, whatever. And they hear their friends talking about how inauthentic their maybe own youth pastor or youth ministers or even their own parents or their own friends. And that's going to be their opportunity, your opportunity, this group right here, to do some evangelism. And it's not opening the Bible, and it's not showing maybe the steps of salvation, so to speak, but it's saying, hey, I know a place where you can go where Jesus lives. Mm-hmm. I know a place, and I want to invite you to come. We had an awesome praise night last night. We probably had 8 visitors there. Now, that's maybe not a whole lot by anybody's count, but I was really excited about that. We had to get out an extra row of chairs and all that, and that was really exciting to see. And so you have to just take those little increments as you come, but you also have to be really plugged into youth culture and understand what is it that makes these guys tick. Yep. You don't do that every single week. You don't do that every single time, but you surely throw some of that in along the way. Yeah.
Yeah. Before we get there, let me just, and you may be responding to this too. You're on the right track, going where they are. I mean, that's a lot of it. Our outreach ministry is not at the building. We don't even, our class doesn't meet in the building anymore. We're not, we've been given a house, and so we have a youth house. And so we meet over there and that kind of stuff. That's really dropped a lot of barriers, because they're going to the house. They're going to the Bob. It's the building out back is what the guys call it. And so that's really helped. We do life groups. We do small groups. And so they're able to invite their friends to their homes. Mm-hmm. And so meeting them where they are and doing that kind of thing. Get into their world. I am one of the regular soccer referees for all of the local high schools. I can walk into any high school in our area and nobody looks twice, but youth ministers are not welcome. They're closed campuses. I am not welcome at any high school as a youth minister, but as the soccer ref, I am. Okay?
And let me add to that as well. In the fall, at my own home, we have the senior high doing Bible study at my home on a Wednesday night, and that allows them to come and just chill out and hang out and understand this is a safe place, it's okay to be. Yet we do have praise night there, we have Bible study there, so they do come in contact with those aspects. Along with what Lee just said, also in the community, if you're not careful as a minister, you can get plugged into all the families in your congregation but not know the community.
Right.
Because you have no other avenues to get out there. And so, like, I volunteer with Park and Rec as a coach for basketball, baseball, flag football, and then that's how I get out and meet other people, and they get to know me and my character, my personality, and then pretty soon, you know, you're not a household name per se, but as people see you around the community and around town, they understand who you are and what you're about and how good a godly person that you are.
Yes, ma'am. Yep. We've got a host of experts here. What would make you guys and or your friends want to build a group?
Silence.
They're thinking. We'll come back to you. Let us know. Mike?
Can I add one thing before just to address what you said? I just recently read a book called The Search to Belong, and I cannot remember the author for the life of me, but he's talking about the fact that America, housing, we used to have a front porch. We don't have that anymore. And so where has that space gone where a stranger could come up and feel welcome and you could come out of your house and not feel threatened? And he said that that place has gone to places like the coffee shop. So that's a great place, a Starbucks night. We do that once a week in Stillwater. We just have a Starbucks night and 7 to 8. Anybody can show up there. It's a real safe place. You come and go. There's no commitment, but it's a great place to meet new people as well. So the front porch is now moved somewhere else.
Yeah. Mike's getting ready to say something or ask something. And I just want to say quickly, you know, for those of you who don't Facebook, I'm not saying it's the end all. It's, you know, there's risks there, okay? But we built a Facebook group. Mm-hmm. It's the ECY group. 3/4 of his youth group are on it. And though they live 3 hours away, they know what's going on. And I'll get an email from them, and, hey, how did such-and-such go? Hey, how's so-and-so doing? And all that. And so, you know, it's caused – we used to get together a couple times a year. Now it almost feels like weekly, you know, we're in contact with each other. You know, be patient and pray for the easy ones. Okay? Yes, ma'am. Absolutely. Yeah. And there are several of those. She's saying JesusFreaks.com is another place that you can connect. I'm not going to remember it. There's another one that's just totally, you know, Christian-based. If you do a blog for your youth group, that is our youth group webpage. We do a blog. It's just so much easier to maintain. You can put pictures up. You can do all those kind of things. You can make posts. You can, you know, you can keep up with each other. I know some of you are, like, not sure what that is. These guys do. You know, they're in that world, and so they understand that. Yeah, somebody else.
Probably need to wind down.
Yeah, we need to be wrapping up here. Anybody else? Let me tell you, just, you know, use what you can to reach out to the people that you can reach out to. How many of you have a free cycle website in your town? Free cycle is an ecological friendly thing, trying to keep the landfills empty of things that are usable. Okay, my daughter, Mike knows her, moved out into her apartment not too long ago, and she doesn't have the internet, which drives her crazy, so you know why she's at the house most of the time. But so, you know, she said, "Dad, would you just get on FreeCycle for me, let it be your address, and that way if you see the stuff that I need, would you let me know?" And so, you know, I just kind of check it every now and then and that kind of stuff. I'm reading through the posts one day, and boom, I need a Bible. I can do that. I've got a Bible. So, you know, I fire back real quick. I said, "I'd be glad to get you a Bible. I have plenty of Bibles. Is there a translation you'd like? You know, yada, yada." We enter into that whole conversation. Make a long story short, this is a lady that has had just lots of drama and trauma in her life. She was all but homeless, having some real difficulties, and one of her friends just flippantly said, "You need to get a Bible and read it." And so I responded back to her. I said, "I will bring you a Bible, and if you want me to, I will pray with you." She is a faithful member of our congregation. She just started a full-time job 2 weeks ago, and she is telling the story of Jesus everywhere she goes. And you know, my kids go, "How did that happen?" I said, "You know, I tell you to pray for the easy ones." She was ready. You know, she thought she needed a Bible. I knew she needed a Savior. It was easy to put the two together, and it worked. And some of your friends are going to be the same way. Our latest addition to our youth ministry emails me almost every day, and I look forward to it. You know, Bree has something new to say to me. But she started coming because she was having a really tough time, and she wasn't relating to her mom. She wasn't relating to her dad. It seemed like just all the adults had just shut her out. And so one of the kids said, I want you to come meet a guy tonight. Just happened to be Wednesday night. And so she came in. She sat right by me during our class time at the Bob, the building out back. And afterward, we talked and we prayed a little bit. And you know, she was like, I'm not leaving. You may get tired of me, but I'm not leaving. No, I'm not going to get tired of her, you know. Now she's talking to her friends that need to come. Her mom is planning on coming to church next week. And you know, youth ministry is all about that. We do need to wrap up. Does anybody have a question or a comment? I have to tell you, the reason I am still in youth ministry is because youth ministry converted me. Okay? I was 17. I was popular. I was well off. And this will scare some of you. Some of you are going to want to go get a haircut. I had long hair, middle of my shoulder blades. Yeah, I guess it was too heavy and it all fell out. You know, I can't you know, really explain all that. Everything was going for me. You know, I could, you know, even as ugly as I am, I could get a date with anybody that I wanted to. All right? But I was going to hell quickly. And if it were not for a youth group that my now wife invited me to attend, if those guys hadn't pulled me outside that night, not to beat me up, but to say, we know your reputation, but we just want to find out who you are. They led me to Jesus. And if they could do that for me, then you can do that for some other Lee out there somewhere. Okay? And I don't care if you're an adult or if you're a teenager, who you are. God has given us all the same call, and it's to share his love with a lost and dying world. And our world more than ever needs it. Some of us have been guilty of saying, well, when I was in high school, teenagers, I'm going to give you the license. Just simply tell them, Mom, Dad, Lee, whoever you are, it's not your high school anymore. The world I live in is not the one you grew up in. I understand that it's a tough world, and I understand that you face things that I never thought about facing at that time in my life. I won't begin to tell you I know. Okay? Let's pray. If you would like to visit with Tim or me anymore, Tim's going to be cutting out pretty soon, but we'll go get out of Joel Monza's way. Some of you, I would encourage, all of you, I would encourage to stay and listen to Joe. Joe and I used to work together in ministry together. He's got an incredible story and incredible love for people and the lost. But if you want to talk, Tim and I will be available for a little bit here, and I'll be over at the NCYM booth probably the rest of the day and be glad to hear from you. But don't forget, ncym.org. You can talk to any of us anytime you want to. Let's pray. Father, we're not worthy. We're unlovable. We're dirty. And yet you call us your children because of the blood of the Christ. We thank you, Father, for the sacrifice he made, and we thank you that no matter what the age, that we're all a part of your youth ministry. Father, we look forward to the day that you'll call us all home, and in the meantime, we pray that you will use us in every way feasible, possible, imaginable, to reach out to people who don't know you. Thank you, Father, for giving us this privilege, and thank you for loving us. Let us pass that love on. It's through Jesus we pray. Amen. Blessings on all of you.